And it's time for the Bay Area's favorite quiz show, Minds Over Matter, with moderator Dana Rodriguez, accompanied by cinema photographer and educator Cameron Shaw and educator Lori Fisher.
If it ain't day, it's night. If you ain't sure, you might. It's gotta be this way.
And it's gotta be our host, Dana Rodriguez.
Thank you very much, Damien. Welcome everybody to a wonderful Saturday morning. We do hope you can spend part of that morning with us, because Minds Over Matter is an audience participation quiz program. So what we are looking for is your participation. We'd love to hear from you. We really do. And we do hope you will call soon so we can talk to you and get your questions and maybe get the answer to our questions. So that's the way it works. Those numbers are area code 415-841-4134. Again, that's area code 415-841-4134. We also have a toll-free number. Yes, we really do. And that is 866-798-8255. Again, that is 866-798-8255. For those who do not want to call, maybe you're shy or maybe you just don't feel like it, you can always email us, and that is completely available to you. And that email address is mindsovermatter1@gmail.com. So that is MINDSOVERMATTER1. That's the numeral one. MindsOverMatter1@gmail.com. Of course, you can hear us in live stream at kalw.org. And of course, you are free to listen to our wonderful podcast, which will be exactly the same thing you're going to hear over the next hour, at kalw.org and many other places, but start with KALW. That would be much appreciated. So once more, those two numbers, area code 415-841-4134, are toll free. 866-798-8255. Call soon. Sooner you call, the sooner we'll get you on. And so we're going to start with a round of introductions and then a round of questions. And here's the first. Cameron Shaw has wanted for her entire life to know what happened to Amelia Earhart, but not to distract the country from current events like some people she can name. And of course, if she had done a little more research, she would know that Amelia Earhart, Jimmy Hoffa, and Judge Crater are all living in a bungalow someplace in West Covina, I think.
I thought they were living in Elvis's basement.
Maybe.
That's what I heard. Yeah.
I mean, that's a party I would like to join. All right. Although the baseball season is not officially over, Lori Fisher is forced to acknowledge that with 182 losses between them, his White Sox and Giants are happily about to start an early winter. Being lousy has some benefits. Now, I would say that the Giants ended the season not so lousy, but that's just me.
Well, they have two more games, so they still have potential, right? Yeah. It didn't end last night just because you were there. And our moderator, Dana Rodriguez, has never been suspended, unless you count his periods of suspended animation while trying to think of an answer.
Yeah, talk about dead air. Anyway, all right.
I checked your high school transcript. I believe there was a suspension or two back then in your high school days. No?
No, it never happened on campus. All the bar fights were off campus. All right, we're going to start with Cameron Shaw.
Okay, well, you know, for no particular reason at all, I've recently been thinking about the Hollywood blacklist from the 1940s. So I have a couple of movie questions. One is easier than this one that I'm about to give you. So maybe I'll do them in a row. I'm wondering, there are 10 people on the quote-unquote Hollywood 10 who came before the, or else refused to testify before the House Un-American Activities Committee. They are mostly screenwriters and mostly people I hadn't heard of, but I've been reading about them. So I'm wondering if you guys can name any of those 10. There's one, I would say, who's pretty famous, in my opinion.
Well, Dalton Trumbo is the famous one.
Yes, Dalton Trumbo is the famous one.
The one I know best, because I'm actually really close friends with his grandson, is Alva Bessie.
Oh, really? That's interesting. Good
Yeah.
job.
He's
Yeah,
a
all the
cool.
best, C.
Yeah. His grandson teaches at Diablo Valley College and
Oh,
close
how
friend of
cool.
mine. So though that's my, yeah, and I know lots about him.
Okay, looking to Dana for some others.
Yes.
Okay, well, Edward Dmytryk, I know he was a pretty well-known director at the time.
Yeah, Crossfire, which I think was a very big hit, right? Like
Right.
1947.
And Ring Lardner Jr., who had won the Academy Award for screenplay for Woman of the Year with Tracy
Yes.
Ashman.
And I believe later won for MASH in 1970. Or else the maybe he wasn't
Yes,
credited
that's
on that.
correct. That's
Yeah.
correct.
Yeah, good job. Okay. Well, so we got a few right off the bat, so I guess they're not as obscure as I think.
And Adrian Scott, who had to move to Mexico, I believe,
Yes.
and I think he had done one of the Astaire Rogers films, or maybe was that him?
The ones that I have written down for him, and I this is not obviously his entire filmography, are Keeping Company and then something called Mr. Lucky, and I haven't seen either of those.
Okay, all right, and then there's one more I can name. One second, give me one second. Herbert Biberman, who
Yes.
yeah, Herbert Biberman did that film, the one in New Mexico. What is that called? Bitter Earth?
The
Is that
Salt of the Earth.
Salt of the
Yeah.
Earth, that's it.
Yeah.
Okay. Nice.
Yes. 1954. All right. So we got, let's see, we got six of them. Nice job. So there are four
All right.
left that we can leave out. Would you like me to give you my shorter movie question?
Go ahead.
Okay. So recently, in the last couple months, there is a sensational movie that has become the number one most streamed movie of all time on Netflix. I'm wondering if you can tell me what it is. And if you can tell me what movie it passed.
So is this related to your first question?
Not at all.
Oh,
No.
damn it.
Is it the K-pop movie that I don't know the name
Yes.
of? Okay.
But
Oh,
you
is
don't know
it
the name of
the
it.
K-pop Demon Killers or something like
Yes.
that?
Okay. I'll give it to you. K-pop Demon Hunters. Yes. Good job.
God, I've watched that so many times now.
You're
you're a portion of the
the one.
325 million views that
You're
it's
the better.
gotten.
He has half of them. And
Yeah.
then what did it
Yeah.
replace? Which film did it
Yeah.
replace?
What
Oh.
film did it replace? And the film that it replaced was a Netflix produced film, I will say.
No idea.
And
No.
is it in like the last year or two, or is it older than that?
It came, I believe it came out in 2021. It was a kind of a COVID release.
And a film, not a series, right?
Film, yes.
Don't know.
Don't know. Want to
Okay.
give us a hint or leave it out there?
I think we can leave it out. Somebody will know.
Okay, repeat the question if you would.
Okay, so recently K-pop Demon Hunters became the number one most watched film of all time on Netflix. Thank you to the children of the world for that. And
The
I'm
Aldrin,
wondering,
isn't it?
oh yeah, it's definitely a children's film. I'm wondering what movie it replaced, which was a COVID release for Netflix.
Okay.
And we need four more blacklisted
And yes,
Hollywood
four
tens.
more blacklisted Hollywood 10 screenwriters or directors. And
Okay.
one was also a producer.
And Laura, you go ahead, please.
Well, Robert Redford passed away, and I thought we should have a question or two about him. And
Yes.
he played a bunch of title characters. So he played Jeremiah Johnson and The Great Gatsby and Brubaker. I'm going to give you the name of some of his characters in his movies, and I want you to tell me the movie in
I have
which he.
exactly the same question, but go ahead.
Oh,
You got there.
no.
You got there first, so that's fine.
Okay. Well, we might have the same one. So we probably do. So you need to recuse yourself. So Cameron, it's on you. But Dana, you
Oh
got a couple.
no.
So I have eight of them. The first one is Paul Bratter. Number
Okay.
two is Halsey Knox. Number three is Hubble Gardner. Number four is one word, Turner. Number five is Roy Hobbs. Number six is Johnny Hooker. Number seven is Billy McKay. And number eight is Bubber Reeves. So we have Paul Bratter, Halsey Knox, Hubble Gardner, Turner, Roy Hobbs, Johnny Hooker, Billy McKay, and Bubber Reeves. And apologies to Dana for scooping his question.
I think I only have one of the
Oh,
ones that
really?
you have. Yeah.
Okay. Well, then
Oh, interesting.
take a
Okay.
couple each.
Well, go ahead, Cameron.
Okay. Joseph Turner was 3 Days of the Condor.
Yes. and they just called it Turner in the movie. Hey, do we have a bell today?
Yes.
Okay.
I don't know. I keep ringing it and people don't hear it.
Damien, do you hear it?
Yeah, I hear it.
I don't hear it. Cameron, do you hear the bell?
I don't hear the bell.
Okay.
It's a phantom bell. Out.
Okay. Do you have another name?
I think I'm not 100% sure. It's been a long time since I've seen The Sting, but I think Johnny Hooker is from The Sting.
It is. Very good. All right. Johnny Hooker in The Sting and Turner in 3 Days at Condor. A really good movie, by the way. Yeah. Dana, how about you of the ones that weren't on your list?
All right. Can you go over the names once
again? Yeah. Paul Bretter, Halsey Knox, Hubble Gardner, Roy Hobbs, Billy McKay, and Bubba Reeves.
Halsey Knox is that's Little Faust and Big Halsey.
Yeah, and that was his name was in there, so he was the title character, sort of. Very good.
Yeah, and then Roy Hobbs, of course, is the natural.
Yes,
Bernard. And I'll stop there.
Yeah, very good. So let's leave Paul Bretter, Hubble Gardner, Billy McKay, and Bubba Reeves out there. Three of them are super well-known movies, and another one should be on the list. That's why I put it there.
All right.
Great.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, good morning. So my question this morning will be pretty much about health and wellness because of all the virus is going around us. But before that, I want to ask you, maybe your audience as well, the question. Who's the only president that was arrested while in office?
Ulysses Grant.
Very good. Very good. All right. Okay. Get that behind us now. So let's talk about vaccines. Where does the word vaccine come from? What is the origin of the word vaccine?
It's from the cow, like it came from, the first vaccine was from cow pus in the udder of the cow, right? Because of...
You're right. But actually, yes. Vicar, it is just a Latin word for a cow.
Right.
And and this is how it was discovered. A lot of people did not die from certain diseases that were milking cows. And
there you go. Sort of,
very nice. Good. Great history. Yes, great history. Okay. The second question now about viruses. Are viruses dead or alive? You know, we have that COVID, we have rabies, we have blah, blah, blah. Are they dead or alive? Any virus. Is it dead? Now, you can't see or laugh at
it. No, it's alive.
According to biology.
How can it propagate if it's dead?
It's just unbelievable. It does fulfill that commitment, but to the biology, I was told that they were dead, but they more alive than anything you could imagine. Okay, what is the most deadliest viruses?
Once you get sick,
nobody survives. Which one is the deadliest? Animals. Dogs.
Ebola?
No.
People survive Ebola. What about the bubonic plague?
The one that people can get from dogs. Dog bites. If the dog
rabies.
Rabies. Rabies is the most deadly virus. Once you get symptoms, you're dead. And how do you survive? You take vaccine. So when I was 7 years old, I was bitten by a stray dog, and I had to go to the rabies shot, and they're very, very painful. Very painful. But I had to take them and survive. Okay. Very quickly.
Now, all right. One more question, Ian, and then we have to go.
Okay. One more question. That's it. Great. Always a great show. We just have to make sure that everybody get vaccinated. The last question, 1260 AD, the Seventh Crusader was defeated, was led by King Louis IX of France. Not only his army was defeated, but Louis IX was held hostage in this city of the world. What city?
Cairo.
Yeah.
Cairo it is. Okay. Now, this is the end of the question. What was which led this army? Was it a man or a woman?
It was a woman.
Was a woman. Charger door. Believe it, 1260 AD, but we should all of us work against war. Work against no more wars. This is the last thing. Please, everybody, donate to KLAW. We need it now far, far, far more than ever. Great station, great programs. everything in that station is very beautiful and useful. So that's KBFA and KQDFM. Thank you very much. Great show.
Thank you.
Thank you. And you have a good day. Thank you.
And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We are here every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. We would love to hear from you, so please give us a call. If you have a question of your own and like to answer one of ours, those two numbers are area code 415-841-4134 or toll-free 866-798-8255. And, oh my goodness, it's my turn. Okay. Well, let's see. My Robert Redford question is shot to hell.
Oops.
So, well, that's okay. So I do have a small Robert Redford question here I can ask. What is the only Robert Redford film in which he provided a voice to an animated feature?
Ooh.
Wow.
Cameron,
what was the character?
Oh, don't what say this is character mine. In the...
Was this fairly recent, like in the last 10 years?
No, I think it's been more than 10 years, actually. So one guess each. What was the only Redford film in which he provided a voice to an animated feature?
One guess each.
Yeah.
What was the character? Okay.
Was it a Pixar movie?
I don't believe so.
All right. Was it traditional animation? Like we're not talking CGI character?
No, it's not CGI.
Okay.
It's kind of previous to CGI.
And it's a well-known film?
Well, you know. reasonably well known.
Have you seen it?
I've seen a piece of it, I believe, yeah.
Cameron,
it's not the sort of thing I generally watch.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't even have a guess because I don't know of him being in any of the big animated films of the last 20 years. Is it the last 20 years?
It is the last 20 years, I think. Yeah.
Is it a musical?
No, it's not a musical.
That's all my questions, Cameron. Take over.
Yeah. I think this is an audience answer.
It sounds like.
Yeah. I don't know.
All right. Think it over. Yeah. Okay. So what is the only Robert Redford film in which he provided a voice to an animated feature? It was a reasonably large character part. And what was the character? All right. Second question, one answer each, please. There are five Hitchcock films that take place in California. So give me your one guess for each of those. There are five Alfred Hitchcock films that take place primarily in California.
Okay. Vertigo.
Vertigo is one.
The easy one, yeah.
Yeah.
This is also pretty easy. I'll take a little tougher one. I think Strangers on a Train. And if not
Strangers on a Train.
Then I'll go with The Birds. That was my second.
Yes, The Birds.
Okay. Yeah. Sorry for taking two, yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
So we have The Birds and Vertigo. What are the other Alfred Hitchcock films that take place mostly in California? And then I will give you one more question. Maybe this is sort of Cameron's thing. Maybe it's not.
Okay.
What are the L. Frank Baum wrote The Wizard of Oz, of course. Everybody knows that. What are the five sequel books that he wrote? Get one guess each on this. What are the five sequel books to The Wizard of Oz? The first five, I guess I should say.
Okay, I don't know exactly how you would categorize sequel books, but
so well, the next
in the same in universe,
Ron,
right?
But, yes, about Oz.
Do they have the word Oz in the title? Oz?
Yes, they all have the word Oz.
Okay, so there are actually 14 of them.
Right. Wow.
So this is her territory. Yeah.
So you're looking for the five immediate sequels?
Yes, the first five sequel books that he wrote.
Okay. The second one, I believe, is Ozma of Oz.
That's the second, actually.
Right. That's not what we're looking for?
No, that's one of them, but that's the second one that he wrote.
There's one before that.
So that's your guess. So Ozma of Oz.
Okay, Ozma of
Oz. You know, I read them to my kids, but I don't remember the titles. Cameron, you could have my guess.
Okay. I mean, I'm not remembering the order in which they come.
It doesn't. Yeah, the order doesn't matter.
Okay, so there's the Tin Woodman of Oz. There's the Scarecrow of Oz.
No, those are not in the first five.
Okay, so sorry, we're only looking for the first five. Right. Yeah, I don't remember the exact order.
Okay. So, okay, that's fine. You have one. The first five, I'm looking for the first five sequels to The Wizard of Oz, written by L. Frank Baum. And Cameron got Ozma of Oz. That's 1907. And the five Hitchcock films that take place mostly in California. And only, what is the only Robert Redford film in which he provided a voice to an animated feature? So let me know what that is. Right, and let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello, it's Peter on Bernal.
Hi, Peter.
I can come up with a couple of Hitchcock films. Shadow of a Doubt is one.
That's right. It takes place in Santa Rosa, California. Very good.
One of my favorite Hitchcock films.
Yeah.
And I believe Family Plot.
Yes. Well. Very good. Oh,
very good.
Good job on that.
I have a question.
Yes.
What was the origin of mayonnaise?
the word or the product?
The product. Well, also the word, actually.
Was it an accident? One of those kitchen accidents? They were trying to make hollandaise sauce and it turned into mayonnaise or something?
No. Okay. Well, in a way, it was an accident. Accident of fate.
Well, it comes from a city in Spain, or is it? I'm not sure it's in Spain or an island off Spain, but called
Menorca is the island.
And that's in Menorca, I guess. It was invented by a chef.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to remember what else.
What are the ingredients? It's oil.
It's eggs.
Eggs and oil.
Egg whites.
Yeah.
It was done as something to do with a victory banquet, by a chef there. But I don't know. I don't think I can go much further than that.
Well, you're sort of close. It had to do with military action. It was in the mid-18th century. A French chef was working on the island of Menorca, and the island was invaded by the British Navy, who stole all the cows to feed the sailors. And so there was no cream for his sauces, but there were eggs, so he was able to whip up some egg whites and create a sauce, which he called salsa mayonesa, after the town of Port Mahon, where he was working.
And that's cool. That's a great story.
He took that back to France, and it became La Mayonnaise.
And next up was tuna salad, tuna fish.
Absolutely.
Yeah, great.
That's
question.
It for me. Thanks, guys.
Yeah. Thank All you very much. Appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. If you'd like to join us, feel free to do that. Those two numbers are area code 415-841-4134 or toll free 866-798-8255. Okay, let's go to another call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Is this me?
It is you.
Oh, good. All right, I think I know all the Oz books.
Oh, great.
You got it. Sorry. You want
Everybody's
me to tell
killing
them all
my questions today. No, that's okay. Go ahead.
Oh, you there?
You there?
Oh, no.
Well, call back. Please.
She's back?
No, I'm back.
Okay,
good.
There we go.
You took a break.
You know what I did? I walked into the other room. I'm not. All right. The second one is The Land of Oz, and the third one is Ozma of Oz. And then I am right. And the next one after that is, I think, Dorothy and the Wizard in Oz. And then, is it The Road to Oz?
Yes.
All right. And then then comes The Emerald City of Oz and The Patchwork Girl of Oz.
Wow.
All right. Yes, you got them all.
She's run the board. Yeah. Very nice.
Good job.
Sorry, but... That was my childhood. I got one for every birthday and every Christmas.
Sweet.
And then the Robert Redford one.
Yes.
What's his name? Like Hubble, is that his name?
Yeah, Hubble Gardner is who?
That's from the way we, that's the way we were?
It was the way we were, or is the way we were. Very good.
Oh, good. And I have a question.
Yes.
Okay? All right. When Davies Symphony Hall first opened, it had an unusual feature that other places didn't really have. And it wasn't a big success, and they changed it later on. But do you have any idea what it was?
What year did it open?
I don't remember. But it was
70s, maybe, late 70s, early 80s.
I think it was in the 70s. But anyway, okay. It doesn't really matter.
Is this an architectural feature? Like a part of the building that they had to change? Or is it something less permanent?
No, it was more the fittings on the inside.
Oh, okay.
I mean, it wasn't architectural, but they did have to do some work.
Was it a high-tech thing? Like super titles or something in the chairs?
No.
Okay.
No. It was just a plain old bad idea.
Okay.
Did it have anything to do with conveying? Did it have to do with conveying information to the audience about the performers or performances?
No. And it was only on the the orchestra level, the ground floor.
Oh,
interesting.
Okay. Anything to do with refreshments or things? People could bring.
It was in the not the orchestra where they play, but the orchestra where people sit.
Right.
I mean, you know. It was physically there.
Are you actually on your speakerphone?
No, I'm running it through my hearing aid. Would you like me to?
That's it. No, you have to go ahead. We're just curious.
I can put it on the regular phone. Would you like that better?
Yeah, that might be a little bit better.
Nothing against hearing aids,
okay?
Of course.
Nothing
is
against
that better?
Yeah, that's
oh,
much
good.
Better.
I'm sorry.
That's
better.
Yeah.
That's
okay.
It was a physical thing on the seating floor at the orchestra level.
Didn't have a rise or something automatic thing that was it the organ or the...
No, it was the spectators. It was the audience.
I know they weren't happy with the acoustics, and I know there was a part of the building that got in the way of a bunch of seats. But I don't know specifically what that.
Josh would know this.
Josh would know.
Probably.
Okay. Anyway, it had no center aisle
at all.
Right.
And the rows were farther apart from each other than they usually are, with the idea that with no center aisle, I don't know what the idea was, but you could walk all the way across because there was more space. But right. There was no center aisle. You walked from one side to the other, and people hated it.
There was more leg room. Yeah.
Interesting.
More leg room, but you had to
walk farther.
Walk all the way around. So people didn't like that.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
there was no center aisle.
Huh.
And that's all I've got.
That's cool.
Well, thank you very much.
Yeah.
All right. Bye.
Bye bye. And let's see. Cameron, I think we're back to you.
Okay. I've been holding on to this question for a long time, so let's use it. What must a professional clown do to have their clown persona officially recorded in the Register of Clowns International? So there is a thing that you have to submit to Clowns International in order to officially be recognized as a professional clown.
Is it your makeup?
It is your makeup, and how are you supposed to submit it? Like, there's a way to, it's not just a photo of you.
Is it like your, a representation of your head, like a three-dimensional head in the makeup? Like mannequin head?
Yes, you're getting there. And what is it on?
What is it on? The mannequin head? Oh, like a poster. Well,
it's not as big as a mannequin head. I'll give you that hint.
So you're doing your makeup, but you're doing it on a inanimate object?
Yes. Yeah, so the idea is you're submitting your makeup so that it cannot be copied by another clown, like your exact visage.
And so they put it on like a potato or something like that.
Oh, you're so close. Yes.
A pumpkin.
Nope.
Potato, pumpkin. We're in the right neighborhood.
It's a food. Yes.
It's a food. And we could buy the food at the store. And yes. Is it about the shape of a head, a human head?
Yeah, kind of an odd
or like shape. A cantaloupe or a melon of some kind.
I think Dana's head shapes are not mine. My head is not shaped like a pumpkin, I don't think.
It is smaller than that.
Who's closer, the pumpkin or the potato?
The potato is closer because it's smaller.
Oh, all right.
I love this. It's so weird.
Is it a fruit or a vegetable?
Neither.
Oh my. A ham.
You're getting there.
Oh, really?
Okay, here's a hint because I think you're going to get it. It has something to do with the mayonnaise question that was asked earlier.
Yes.
Well, that's interesting. Ham sandwiches sometimes have mayonnaise.
It's
not a ham sandwich. Man, I'm going to have to leave it.
No, do you want to leave it out?
Sure, we can leave it out.
I don't have time.
Yeah, think about it. Think about things in mayonnaise and, you know, yeah.
Things in mayonnaise.
Egg.
Yes, egg. It is. So in order to be part of the official Clowns International Registry, you have to submit your face on two wooden eggs. And then they are displayed at Clowns International, which last I checked was still closed after COVID. But you can go and see all of these eggs. Yeah.
On display. Oh, man.
Yeah, I think it's in London.
That's cool. All
it's right. Yeah, just one of those facts that I love.
All right.
Yes. And since we're about halfway through, let's quickly repeat any questions that haven't been answered and start with you, Cameron.
Okay. I am looking for 4 of the 10 blacklisted screenwriters. Well, the ones that were called the Hollywood 10 during the 1947 HUAC investigation. We already have Edward Dmytryk, Alva Bassi, Herbert Biberman, Ring Lardner Jr., and Dalton Trumbo. Oh, and Adrian Scott. So I'm looking for 4 left. We have 6 of them. And then I'm also looking for the Netflix produced film that until August was the most streamed movie on Netflix that was recently beat out by K-pop Demon Hunters.
Okay.
That's what I got.
My question is about Robert Redford. I'm going to give you names of his characters, and you need to tell me what movie he played that character in. There's 3 of them. Paul Brather, Billy McKay, and Bubba Reeves are the 3 that are left, and that's all I have out there right now.
All right, and let's see. Wait a minute. I want to pass my own piece of paper here. Let's see. I want the only Robert Redford film in which he provided a voice to an animated feature. And what character did he play in that animated feature? Only Robert Redford film in which he provided the voice to an animated feature. And what character was it? All my Hitchcock films have been gotten, I believe.
Except for one.
There's one left. Sorry. So, and the question was, what Hitchcock films took place primarily in California? There are 5 of them that I could find. And that's it for me. Okay. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello. Is Psycho one of them?
Psycho is one of them, yes.
Oh,
Psycho's the last one.
Very good.
Of course, it's so well known, Norman Bates. And Balsam, what's his name again?
Martin Balsam.
Yep.
Huh? Yeah. That was all in California. What part of California was that?
Well, it wasn't all in California. Marion comes from Arizona, drives into California, but the Bates Motel's in California, down someplace in like near Bakersfield or something like that.
But I got the bill. Okay.
You did.
The other one I was going to say I guess I just answered that. What? Excuse me for being a little. Today is my birthday.
Happy birthday!
Happy birthday!
Thank you. It's one of only. Well, it's unique about it because I tell people to remember it as a circle and a square.
Uh-huh.
So what other dates could it be? There's only three in a year.
Oh, you mean? Oh, I don't know about the circle.
So nine is square of three.
Square and a
cube. Is that what you're talking about?
Huh?
A square and a cube. So nine is a square of three, and 27 is the cube of three. Is that right?
Right. And the other two are April 8th and January 1st.
Okay.
And
there you go.
So who else was born on this day?
Besides
today?
You?
Famous people.
Just you, I believe.
No. Famous people. And this person, I mean, I knew this anyway. But, you know, they were talking about the Rocky Horror Picture Show. It's like the 50th anniversary of its premiere on Broadway.
Mm-hmm.
The Rocky Horror, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's someone who starred in that. His birthday is today.
Tim Curry?
No.
Oh, Tim Curry.
He would be 76 if he weren't dead.
Oh. So somebody
sounds like Tim Curry. I don't know. He was a star.
And
his
name is Melvin Aday.
Oh.
I don't know him.
Who did he play in Rocky Horror?
Well, get his real name. Everyone knows him by another name.
Oh.
His real name is Melvin. It's Meatloaf.
Melvin what?
Melvin Aday, something like that.
He was in the original cast of Rocky Horror?
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't think so.
And the other one who I like to, it was Samuel Adams. We're talking about, you know, the founding fathers. Anyway.
Oh, are you talking about Meatloaf? Meatloaf is dead, and he was in Rocky Horror.
That's what
I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. I didn't hear you say that. Okay. Then I got it.
There you go.
Sam Adams.
Right.
You know him?
From the beer,
one of the founding fathers. He was. This is his birthday, too.
Oh.
Okay.
It's a good birthday. Cool. You're in good company.
Yeah. Meatloaf and Sam Adams.
I am.
Yeah.
And that's it. Me, Sam Adams, and Meatloaf.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank
Happy
you.
Birthday, by the way. Happy birthday.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Yeah. Bye-bye. And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. If you'd like to give us a call with a question of your own or to answer one of ours, 415-841-4134 or toll-free 866-798-8255. All right. Since most of my questions have been answered, I will give you one here. Or actually, it's your turn. Is it, Lori?
I think it's mine.
Yeah.
All right, go ahead. I'll do it.
I have a leading question, and then some to follow it up. We're back to school. Which school supply among college students has shot up by far the most in the last 2 years? As much as 80% sales are up at the University of California in Berkeley, and all over the country, it's up over 50%. What school supply item is this? And then I'll have more details after you get it.
Is this an electronic item?
It is not.
Gosh, okay. How about like a daily planner?
It's closer to a daily planner than an electronic thing, but not a daily planner.
Okay.
I think most students keep that on their phones, right?
Well, yeah, I thought maybe there was some reason they didn't want to. A notebook?
You're knocking on the door.
Okay, a binder.
Well, a backpack. I know everybody has.
Yeah, so those have not risen in sale. Binder, notebook is close.
Okay,
it's that low tech, like a binder or notebook, but it's a specific kind of that thing.
So it's a utilitarian item.
Definitely.
And
and there's a specific reason why sales have shot up.
Okay, how about like a test blue book?
Yes.
Okay, so is it because they require you to write tests out now instead of...
There's so much writing that is done, not on a computer, but in class under the supervision of a teacher. Both tests, essays, your short answer thing. So the blue book is risen in sales as much as 80% at Berkeley. And the reason is because AI has really affected the way curriculum is going. So here's my backup question. About what year was the blue book invented? What did it cost then? What does it cost now? And why is it called the blue book?
Well, the cover was blue.
Yeah, it's blue. Now,
why was the cover blue? That's the question.
It's harder to reproduce, to falsify. Okay.
Not that.
What year was it invented?
Yeah. You can give me a decade for that.
About the 30s.
No.
Okay. Shot in the dark.
No, it's close.
Well, okay. Wait a minute now. So it was not invented for schools, was it?
It was.
It
was invented at a university.
Okay, so
the exact reason, so there'd be a standardized thing that professors could carry home and limit the length of, et cetera.
Well, I was thinking because the Army in the old days, maybe they still have it, had a blue book of regulations. It was called the blue book.
But that was printed, right? That was handed out. So this would be empty, they might have taken that thing, but this university adapted it for the reason we're saying.
All right.
So was it in the 40s?
Earlier.
20s.
Yes. So it's in the 1920s.
Okay.
And it cost what then and now?
No, it probably cost a nickel then or a penny? Yeah.
No, more. I was surprised.
30 cents.
It cost 23 cents then.
Okay. And
what do you think it costs now on Amazon this morning?
No idea. It's been a long time since I needed one.
Yeah, same. $5.
I'm just going to give it to you. 24 cents. It has it basically stayed the same price or gotten cheaper, relatively
That's good.
Cheaper.
I love
it. And why is it the blue book? And it has something to do with the university it was invented at.
Was it invented at Michigan?
No. Okay. But why did you say that?
Because of their colors.
Yeah.
So UCLA, light blue UCLA.
Cal?
It was Butler University, which I've never heard of, but its colors were blue and white, and they decided to at the university they would represent the colors, and that took off.
So, I like that.
Butler University in Indiana. So good work, guys.
Excellent question.
Yeah, really fun. And and it's changed the way writing is being assigned and taught in every place.
Rightly so.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, we'll talk about that.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Thank you very much. And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. We do hope you're enjoying the show. I want to mention that our panelists, that would be Cameron Shaw, teacher and cinematographer. Lori Fisher teaches at Dabo Valley College. I'm your moderator, Dana Rodriguez, and you're listening to us on 91.7 FM. That is KALW, your local public radio station. And let's go to a call.
Great.
Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi there, it's the Danny half of Danny and Sandra in Albany.
Hi.
In Echo.
Good morning.
We're
having a lovely time with you guys. It's a particularly entertaining show, you guys.
And I'm a huge Rocky Horror fan, and I did not know, I stand corrected, Meatloaf originated the role in the L.A. Roxy production. Did not know.
Yeah.
How about that?
Anyway, I know a couple of Robert Redford things.
Great.
Paul Bratter is definitely barefoot in the park.
He is definitely barefoot in the park with Jane Fonda. Nice.
Well, and on Broadway, too. You know, it's the character.
That's right.
The play.
Thank you.
Which I think he originated, by the way.
I think so, too.
And the only Dana's question about the animation that he voiced, he was Ike the Horse in Charlotte's Web.
Right.
Oh, nice.
Good job.
Yeah,
Thank you. I prefer the all animated Charlotte's Web personally, but I'm old, so
that wasn't so bad. Yeah. Wasn't so bad. Alrighty. I love the Davies Symphony Hall question because I think I was at the opening of Davies Symphony Hall way back when, because I remember it was a Brahms symphony, but before that was Steve Reich came in with a piece for seven electric pianos, and to like deafening silence. The crowd that was there for Brahms absolutely hated the performance. But what I remember about it also was the highly touted acoustics had these kind of potato chip shaped things hanging from the ceiling that could be moved around, and the acoustics were absolutely horrible. And I think there was sort of a palace coup of the orchestra was who said we refuse to play here again until you fix the damn baffles.
Amazing.
And Josh Kosman would have a lot to say about that.
Absolutely. Sorry.
Okay. Anyway.
Okay. The other thing, the clown eggs.
Yes.
Get in the Wayback Machine and go back to the original Avengers with John Steed and Emma Peel from, I think, 1964.
Okay.
And there was an episode of where evil clowns were doing evil things, and the Avengers were trying to figure out who they were. And they went to a place where all the clowns could be identified by eggs, by blown eggs.
Yes, there you go. I'm not making it up.
Right, I always thought that they made that up, but maybe they didn't, because
all clowns are evil.
Yeah, they are evil. But fun fact: the curator of the Clown Egg Museum was John Cleese, a very young John Cleese.
Oh,
really?
The Avengers. Oh, that we have to watch that.
That's
great. Yeah, scratch that up. It's worth finding. He's.
All right, this isn't a show all about your memories.
All right. Well, but it is, because I'm going to give you another memory. Okay, so given what we've been watching and listening to in the news about retribution and political bullying and so on.
Censorship.
And censorship, yes. Okay, so I know how history doesn't repeat itself, but it rhymes, as Twain is misquoted often. I'm going to go back here. In 1954... Senator Joseph McCarthy, who was being mocked publicly by a humorist in the press, he was unable to get this person to stop ridiculing him every day. So McCarthy threatened the papers that ran his work. And the Providence Bulletin in Providence, Rhode Island, caved and told the humorist to stop or be pulled from the paper. Now, this humorist won the battle, further humiliating McCarthy and earning a special place of honor in the paper eventually. Who was it? And how did they prevail against political bullying?
Was this Herb Block, the cartoonist?
It was not Herb Block, but it was the cartoonist. Half right.
Let's see, 54. Well, it's too early for Oliphant.
Yeah.
Cartoonist whose newspaper work went from 48 to 76 when he died.
Is this Walt Kelly, Pogo?
It is.
It wow.
Is. It is. And so he had a character that showed up in the strip called Simple J. Malarkey, who was absolutely, unabashedly McCarthy. And he was palling around with a mole named Mole Macaroni, which was Senator McCarran, and a badger named Charlie, who was Roy Cohn, who went around kicking people in the shins. And so, so at one point, the Providence Bulletin said, if you show McCarthy's face in your strip again, we're pulling you. And so the next day, in the strip, the character put a bag over his head, put a burlap sack over his head, and then spent the rest of the plot arc. In the strip, being the character but not showing his face, and after a couple of weeks, the editor of the Providence Bulletin basically said, "Okay, we've been punked. We surrender," and they moved Pogo to the op-ed page.
Interesting. That's great.
Yeah, those days are gone for
Walt Kelly. Yeah.
All right. Well, a little
Walt Kelly. That's great.
This is why we got to remember history, folks.
Yeah,
there are good little corners in there that get forgotten. All right, that's all we got.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye-bye. And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. Okay, I have a question for you here. Who was the most popular animated screen character in the mid-1930s in the United States?
I'm going to go Felix the Cat.
Not Felix the Cat.
Okay. Mid-1930s. Oh.
Betty Boop?
Yeah. Nope, not Betty Boop.
Well, I wanted to say Mickey Mouse, so I'll say Mickey Mouse, but that's probably not it. Right?
It's not Mickey Mouse.
Okay.
And Oswald the Lucky Rabbit, his predecessor, was before Mickey Mouse, I believe. So that's right.
too early, yeah.
Okay.
And Gertie, the dinosaur one, would be too early. The 30s, so they're about, talkies.
About Little Nemo.
Not Little Nemo.
Is it a Disney character?
I'm not going to say anything one way or another.
Okay.
Snow White. Mid-1930s. Sorry, that's too late. Right.
All right, so you've had your guesses. Okay. I'll leave it out. Yep. Okay. Who was the most popular animated screen character in the mid-1930s in the United States? And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello, Ed here from San Rafael, avid listener. I have two kind of related questions. The first one, you probably know the answer to. This Ernest Gold made his mark as a film composer in Hollywood in the 40s. Mm-hmm. In 1960, he wrote the theme to Exodus, Otto Preminger's film.
Mm-hmm.
Who wrote the lyrics?
Pat Boone.
Bingo.
Yeah.
Good job.
Yeah, I remember reading about that because Pat Boone was a Christian and wanted to have the kind of a celebration of Israel in the way it relates to Christianity. It just seemed like an odd pairing when I read it.
That's the way they wrote it up. Yeah.
Yeah.
And of course, you know who his great-great-grandfather was.
Daniel Boone.
Is that right? I didn't know that.
I didn't know that either.
That's right.
Yeah.
Dalton Trumbo wrote that screenplay.
You
see how all the questions tie in now?
Yeah, that's just how we planned it.
Yep.
The second question is related. Where was the state of Israel to be established under the League of Nations during World War I?
Well,
that's a good question.
There was talk of it in different places. Oh, was Madagascar one place?
Well, let me give you a hint. It was in the continental United States.
Was it? Okay.
Wow.
Interesting.
And I recently discovered a plaque.
Oh, wait a minute.
This place.
Yes, it was. I did read something about this. Somebody came to President Benjamin Harrison. Was that it? No, that's not it. No, I'm sorry. I'm wrong.
It's
an obscure. If it wasn't for the plaque, I wouldn't even know this. But it is. Even the people that live in and around this area don't know about it. I've used it at parties, and it's interesting.
It must be a place that nobody else wanted, or else they wouldn't have thought to give it to.
Is it desert-like?
In a way.
Is it like the desert?
This area of the country was very popular at that point, actually. It was a tourist destination, and presidents went there. And
so it was populated.
About Niagara Falls.
Right. Exactly. Well, it's close. It's a place called Grand Island.
Oh, okay.
And it's halfway between Buffalo and Niagara Falls.
Wow. Interesting.
Grand Island, New York. Yeah.
Okay.
That was to be the state of Israel. I don't know whatever happened to the whole idea, but there's a interesting plaque buried in the woods there, and it was under the League of Nations, World War I. Grand Island, New York, it's called.
Interesting.
That is interesting, yeah. Great question.
Yeah.
Great program, guys. I really enjoy it. I look forward to it every week.
Thank you very much. Appreciate that.
Keep up the great work.
All right. Thanks for your call. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hey, it's Stephen Vallejo.
Hi, Steve. Nice to hear from you.
How are you?
Good, thank you.
So I have three guesses for your cartoon character. Daffy Duck, Porky Pig, or Popeye?
Popeye is the answer.
Oh, nice. Good.
Popeye was extremely popular in the mid-30s. And that series of cartoons done by the Fleischer, by Fleischer. And yes, so you have the correct answer, Popeye.
Right.
So in my younger days, I was actually part of a Rocky Horror shadow cast for a few years. Oh, back before the word before the word shadow cast actually existed, we just called it the cast. So yesterday was actually the 50th anniversary of the release of the movie. That's what everybody's celebrating this year.
The movie, okay.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And that was yesterday. So the movie. And also Meatloaf's real name was Marvin Lee Adey. So Marvin, happy birthday to Peter from Florida. There's a couple corrections for your birthday.
Very good.
So the movie, what cast member did the movie share with some Bond films?
Ooh.
You mean an actor's name or a character?
Yes.
Actor.
Okay.
I don't think Tim Curry. Was Tim Curry in a Bond film?
No. I don't think so.
And Susan Sarandon was never in a Bond
film. He wasn't in a Bond film.
I don't think so.
No.
Meatloaf was in no Bond film.
Yeah.
I don't think.
Don't know. We're running out of time. I guess you better tell us. We don't know.
Charles Gray, who played Blofeld.
Oh, yes. He played Blofeld. Right, Blofeld, right. Yeah.
And he was also in You Only Live Twice as a different character, and he was the criminologist or narrator in the movie.
Okay. Oh, all right. Thank you. Good question. Okay. Yeah. Thank you very much, Steve. And it's nice to hear from you. I hope give us a call soon again. All right.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Steve. Bye-bye. And all right, time to clean up here very quickly. Cameron, what do we have?
Okay, so the Netflix movie that was kicked out of the top streaming spot by K-pop Demon Hunters was Red Notice from 2021. And then I have the four remaining blacklisted Hollywood screenwriters were Lester Cole, John Howard Lawson, Albert Maltz, and Samuel Ortiz. Or I'm sorry, Ornitz. Samuel Ornitz. Yes.
Should have gotten them. Yeah.
All right, Lori?
Yeah, Billy McKay, Robert Redford played Billy McKay in The Candidate. And he played Bubba Reeves in The Chase. And that's it for me.
Okay. Just want to say thank you to all the people that emailed here. And you got most of the right answers. Yes, you also got the Robert Redford one. I should have mentioned that earlier, but I appreciate your emails very much. Let's see. I don't think I have anything left. No, that's it. Okay, which is a good show. So thank you very much. Thanks to Cameron Shaw, teacher and cinematographer, Lori Fisher, teacher at Dabla Valley College. I've been your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. Thanks to Damian D. Miner for handling the board and phones. And above all, our thanks to you for taking the time to tune in and call in on a Saturday morning. We appreciate it very much. And please remember, we'll be on next Saturday morning at 10 a.m. And we look forward to hearing from you. Thanks, everybody. Have a great week. Take care. Bye-bye.